If you will, take your Bibles, turn to two places right now. Put your finger in Romans chapter 10 for a moment. Romans chapter 10, and then turn back to Luke chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, and back to Luke chapter 10. Likely we'll be learning, looking up a lot of scriptures tonight. So hope you're ready to let your fingers do the walking, like they say. Missions Conference 2020. The night is coming. Will you work? What a great theme. What a great heart of this church and this pastor to, you know, as was said last night, the 11th hour, our time is short. The night is coming. Will you work? You know, we don't have much time left. You know, even if we're young, really, in this life, the Bible says, what is life? Is even a vapor, and then vanisheth away. We don't know how much longer we have. We're going to bring kind of maybe a different message tonight, maybe more informative. We're just going to go verse by verse through Romans chapter 10, but I pray it will be maybe simple, but a blessing and an encouragement. How shall they hear? It says in Romans 10, we'll get to that. But look first in Luke chapter 10 and verse number 2. The Bible says, therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Harvest is great, but the laborers are few. Now turn to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10 and verse 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer tonight. Lord, we thank you so much for this evening. Lord, last day of Missions Conference, it seems every year the Missions Conference goes so fast. Lord, we thank you for just the blessing it's been this week. I know my heart's been encouraged, Lord, being here, being with these dear folks. Thank you for Anchor Baptist Church. Lord, what a blessing to meet many of them, to fellowship. Lord, just even tonight already, Lord, through the worship and song and with, Lord, your people, been encouraged. Lord, it's been a blessing to be here. Pray as we open your word, Lord, just that the simple truths from your word, but Lord, yet amazing truths that we can learn, Lord, may they be a blessing. May they be an encouragement, Lord, at the close of Missions Conference 2020. And Lord, may you be honored and glorified in all that's said and done. Lord, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. How shall they hear? You know, there's many in the world who have not heard the gospel. I can't remember who said it, but I've heard it a few times recently at the missions conferences we've been at, but it's a shame that many would hear the gospel twice when there are some who have not heard once. There are many who have not heard. You know, it's amazing there's many even in Canada and America that have not heard. There's many all over the world who have not heard. And it's up to us as believers to fulfill God's command of the Great Commission to get the gospel, to get, as it is, the good news to the world. The night is coming. Will you work? Will you be involved in the Great Commission? Will you be involved in this work of bringing the good news of salvation to the world? Will you be a committed Christian? It takes work. There's a story told of a man who was asked, are you a believer in the Christian religion? And he said, oh, of course, certainly I am. So he was asked, well, you're a member of some church then, I suppose. A member of a church? No, indeed. Why should I be a member of a church? It is quite unnecessary. The dying thief wasn't a member of a church, and he went to heaven. But of course, the man replied, you have been baptized. You know the command. Been baptized, replied the gentleman. Oh, no, that's another needless ceremony. I'm as safe as the dying thief was, and he was never baptized. Other man responded, well, since you will not join the church or be baptized, oh, you will do something in acknowledgement of your faith. You will give your means. You will help the cause in some way. No, sir, I do nothing of the kind. The dying thief, the man interrupted. He said, let me remark, my friend, before you go any further, that you seem to be on pretty intimate terms with the dying thief. You seem to derive a great deal of consolation from his career. But mind you, there is one important difference between you and him. He was a dying thief. And you are a living one. Our window, as we heard Sunday morning, our window is open. We're a living thief. You know, the Bible says that the heart of man is deceitfully wicked. Who can know it? We are wretched sinners. It is not in our goodness that God saved us. It's all in His grace and His mercy. Praise the Lord for that. We are still have a sinful nature. But praise God, He doesn't see that. He sees, the Lord sees Jesus' righteousness because we are washed in His blood. But we still have the flesh. We're a living thief. But we're still alive. We still have an opportunity to go and serve. We still have an opportunity. And will you tonight be involved in that opportunity? Will you take advantage of the window of opportunity God has given you to be involved in the work of the Great Commission? Again, it's going to be just fairly simple. We're just going to go through some verses tonight. But I want to break down this passage in Romans chapter 10 and bring out some truths. So we'll start just in verse number 13. It says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." What a fantastic verse. I'm sure we all have it memorized. If you've ever witnessed to someone, you've probably used that verse. You've probably shared with them. Maybe if you've gone through the Romans road and you end there and you go through the fact that we're all sinners. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible says that we're not saved by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us. None of our works can save us. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible says, Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. We cannot get to heaven on our own. The Bible says our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. We can never be good enough. By grace are we saved through faith, Ephesians chapter 2. By grace are we saved through faith, not of ourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And you end in Romans chapter number 10, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Do you know that whosoever is interesting? We're not going to get too deep into theological terms. And, you know, there's Calvinists who say the elect and only the whosoever is any type of person. We're not going to get into that. The Bible says whosoever. And whosoever means anybody. Amen. Well, how does that relate to missions? How about the whosoever that lives next to you? How about the whosoever that you work with? How about the whosoever that you come into contact with every day? You know, praise the Lord for a missions conference, and what a great praise and answer to prayer that the commitment came and was exceeded and being able to send missionaries and support missionaries. But as has been said, you are a missionary in the sense of you can go and bring the gospel to someone around you. You can go to a whosoever around you and share the gospel. The Bible says whosoever. 2 Peter 3:9, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I think it was maybe the last missions conference we were at, and the preacher was talking about love, and as Christians, we're to love as Jesus loved. And how can we say that we love those in Africa, and how can we say that we love those across in Asia or in South America if we don't love the people here? How can we love the whosoever's across the world in the Philippines and China if we don't love the whosoever's here? You know, even in the sense of supporting missionaries, you know, we have the missionary with us via the media, Lisa Kendrick. How can she get to Germany, to those whosoever's? You know, it's interesting. Again, I'm so thankful for this church and your desire to support anyone who, you know, is solid in their doctrine and their beliefs, who's willing to go and serve. But you see, some churches, this lady missionary may go and they'd say, well, you know what? You're just a single lady missionary. You're not going to start a new work. You know, they may have some excuse, but she needs support to get to the mission field too. She's going to whosoever's. Thank you, Anchor Baptist Church, for your heart and your desire to get behind her. You see, missionaries who are maybe older, or missionaries who are younger, they don't have experience, or older, and they don't have much time left, but they're going to whosoever's too. This whosoever, get behind anyone. You know, some churches, well, you know, we already support this many missionaries here, and you're going here. We kind of want to be more diverse. Well, okay, that's great, praise the Lord, if you're able to support missionaries, say, in every continent, but just because a missionary is going to somewhere where someone else already is doesn't mean they're not going to whosoever's, to anyone. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then, verse 14, shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? You know, this passage obviously talking about salvation, sometimes people can get too caught up with terms and with words and with how it's phrased. And, you know, sometimes people say, okay, well, salvation is, you know, accepting Jesus Christ, and it's faith and it's grace and it's whatever. And they say, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. And maybe you've heard this before. Well, if you never prayed the prayer, yeah, it's faith, it's trusting God. But if you've never, you know, prayed the prayer, if you've never actually called on the name of the Lord, people get so caught up with that. That's not the point. We'll go back to Romans chapter 10, verse number 9. It says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, yes, there's a confession, there's, you know, calling, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Look at verse 10. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Some people say, see, with the mouth confession is made unto it. You have to call, and that's what, if you will, saves you. But no, what I believe the verse is saying, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. It's man's faith in God's grace, in his finished work on the cross. It's his faith, it's belief unto righteousness that gains us the righteousness of God by belief in him. And with the mouth, confession is made, not to salvation, but confession is made of salvation. Just like a baptism that we'll see tonight. It is a confession unto salvation, about salvation that is there because of belief. And people can get so caught up in that, about belief. And really, what is belief? How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? You know, how many of you have maybe gone and witnessed to someone, and maybe a friend, maybe a co-worker, and they say, yes, I believe in God. Probably every hand would be up. Oh, yeah, I believe in God. But their testimony, their life doesn't, you know, show that of a Christian. You see, sometimes we dumb down the terms, if you know what I mean, to where, say, English. English is a very simplistic language. You compare it to, say, Greek, or even, I'm sure, Tagalog. I know French and Spanish. They're more descriptive, and English kind of simplifies it, if you will. And sometimes we simplify belief in the sense that people will say, yeah, I believe in God, and we say, you got to believe in God, but what does belief in God really, really mean? There's this idea, and I'm going to try to make it very simple. Again, I want this to be simple. I don't want it to be deep and, you know, theological. And, you know, I went through 4 years of Bible college, and I'm going to try to cram 4 years in 10 minutes. No. It's the idea of repentance and faith. I'm sure you've heard that before, how they go together, repentance and faith. Here's how sometimes I'll describe it to people is, you know, repentance is the idea of a change, a complete turn. You're going one way. You're lost in sin. You're not believing in God, you're not trusting in God, you're trusting in your own works, you're trusting in the church, whatever, and repentance is a complete change. But the idea is repentance and faith. You see, so many people say, I believe in God and faith in God, and oh, okay, God will take me to heaven, so I have faith, but they don't repent. They're not completely turned. Two sides of the same coin. Turn up a verse, if you will, Hebrews chapter number 6. One quick verse to illustrate this. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse number 1. It's believed that Paul wrote the book of Hebrews. There's no proof of that, but there's a lot of evidence. And Paul is writing to these Christians, talking about how God is better than the Jewish traditions. He's talking about how he's really just laying a lot of doctrine here. In verse number 1 of chapter 6, he says, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, so we've learned some things, let us go on unto perfection. Not laying again the foundation, look, of the foundation of repentance from dead works. There's the turning from, and faith toward God. They're one and the same. See, that's what belief is. Belief in God is not just, yes, I know there's a God and he can take me to heaven. Belief in God is, number one, believing that you are a sinner and on your way to hell, aside from the grace of God. Belief in God is knowing that the Bible says, as we looked at just a moment ago, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Belief in God is realizing that we all have a sin nature, that through Adam it says that all have sinned, but by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, for that all have sinned. Belief in God is that understanding that in your own sinful flesh we're on our way to hell, but because of that penalty for sin, Jesus Christ came down, God in the flesh, and he died on the cross. The Bible says in Romans 5:8, God commendeth his love toward us. He demonstrated, he proved his love, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. True belief in God is understanding that and realizing that we're lost and on our way to a Christless eternity in hell, and understanding that he is the only way, that he is the only source of salvation. And it is repentance away from a previous lifestyle, a previous faith, and faith towards God, and completely turning, will result in a new life. The Bible says that we are to walk in newness of life. True repentance, true faith, true belief in God will result in a change. The Bible says, how shall they call in him in whom they have not believed? And we as Christians, a part of the Great Commission, we need to bring that truth. That truth can be so simple on what it really means to believe in God. Not just some, yeah, I know there's a God. Yeah, I believe in God. You see so many people who, while they're smoking a cigarette, yeah, I believe in God. While they're taking a drink, yeah, I believe in God. But their life doesn't show it. And we as bearers of the truth need to bring the truth of what it truly is to believe in God. The gospel. We need to bring it to the world. Because how shall they hear? How shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How can the whosoever's in the world know if they don't know what it means to truly believe in God? It says, and how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? See, there's many who have never even heard the name of Christ. There's a friend of mine from college, and he was, I believe, a senior my freshman year, so he graduated when I first got there, and he was going to, I believe that's the flag there, to Congo. I recognize it from his prayer card, so I think that's Congo. And I remember his missions video. He was at the at West Coast. He came from the missions conference as he was on deputation, and he told a story about being in a village in the Congo and meeting a man, and I think there was, I can't remember the whole story, but there was kind of a health thing, I think, with his wife or with his child, and he was kind of sitting outside the hut, sitting down, and this friend of mine came and kind of sat down next to him, didn't really know the language too well, but could communicate a bit, and basically said, you know, it's okay, Jesus will help, or something like that. And the man looked at him and he said, who is Jesus? And there's people out there. How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? So many people don't even know who Jesus is. And you know, one of the things that led me to Canada, to Quebec, is yes, there's a need for missionaries, and I touched on it in the video. There's a need for missionaries to go out, and there's a need for church planters around the world, and there's a need. I saw someone post on Facebook, they had, at their missions conference, they had a bunch of colors. They had some green, they had some yellow, and they had some red, and they demonstrated languages in the world that have a Bible in green, orange, have some of the Bible red, have none of the Bible in their language. And there's many that don't even have a Bible. But really what touched my heart for Canada was, how can we continue to send missionaries if we're not strengthening the churches in Canada? How can we continue to send if there's no one here to send them? See, my heart for Quebec is one day to see Quebec reach with the gospel. One day is to send missionaries from Quebec. I've got to learn French. Wouldn't it be great to send someone from Quebec who knows French to Haiti where they speak French? To send someone to Senegal where he already speaks French? That's my desire in going to Canada. There's whosoever's in Canada, but we can send them to more whosoever's. That's my heart. How shall they believe in whom they have not heard? And it's our job to go and tell them. Acts 1:8 says, we shall be witnesses unto him. We shall be witnesses of him. We're to bring Jesus to this world. We're to demonstrate Jesus. The great song Ron Hamilton wrote, I believe, I saw Jesus in you. Oh, to get to heaven one day and to come across someone who said, you know what, I saw Jesus in you. You know, we can have a testimony in our daily life as Christians. It's interesting being in secular society witnessing to people. Sometimes you knock on the door and people won't even give you the time of day. I just finished my secular job, and you know, it was interesting. A lot of the guys I would work with maybe are more of the rough guys. I did some truck driving, delivering stuff with a smaller truck, and you know the guys that are in that. You probably wouldn't be able to witness to them at the door, maybe. You probably wouldn't be able to go hand them a track and they, I'm actually interested. It was amazing the amount of opportunities I had through my 4 years to you know, even if they didn't really respond or anything, to give them the gospel, to plant the seed. Even on my last day at work, got to witness to my coworker that day, and you know, he said, you know what, no one's really ever explained that to me. You know, and those opportunities we have, even just in your Christian testimony, to show Jesus. You know, heading into the ministry, sometimes you think, Especially if you're younger, you think, man, one day going into the ministry, having to preach Sunday morning and Sunday night, Wednesday night, devotions, like, man, what am I going to just preach Jesus? Isn't this so wonderful? We can just preach Jesus all throughout the Bible. Just bring Jesus. How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And sometimes they may not be able to hear from someone knocking on the door, or maybe to hear from a tract, but maybe they can hear through seeing Jesus in your life, and one day that being a door that you can witness, that you can share. Man, the amount of stories I've heard from missionaries and preachers, just through even simple things, even through COVID. A preacher from Ontario travels across country, even just mowing the rest of his lawn that kind of reaches over to the neighbor's lawn. Something like that. He doesn't have to do that. Even that is a means to show Jesus to people who otherwise would not hear. And they cannot believe in him of whom they have not heard. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We'll look at another verse here. 1 Corinthians 15. I think that's what I want. Really sobering verse. Paul talking to the Corinthians. And the Corinthian church really was a very carnal church. Paul had to correct a lot of problems in the Corinthian church. But he says here in 1 Corinthians 15, 34, "Awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame." Can you imagine, if you will, tonight, if the Apostle Paul came and preached here tonight? Can you imagine if he came to Anchor Baptist Church and he knew this church personally? He wasn't just some preacher that had never met you that was doing, you know, preaching the Word of God. I mean, Paul, you know, the Bible was written, and Corinthians, a lot of Paul's letters, was written to a church. It was Paul speaking to the church, but it was under the inspiration of God, and it's in the Bible as the Word of God. But Paul was speaking directly to this church, saying, "Some of your neighbors don't know that there's a God in heaven, and I speak this to your shame." Can you imagine if the Apostle Paul come? Wow. I think that would hit us pretty close. Could that be said? Could your coworkers know you even for a few years and maybe say, "What, there's a God? There's Christians in the world? I don't know." Would they be able to say that, or would they be able to see Jesus in you? They need to hear of Jesus to believe in him. They need to know what it is to believe. At the end of the verse now, "How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard, and how shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they hear unless someone goes and tells them?" You see, yes, your Christian testimony can be a great way for them to hear of Jesus, but how shall they hear unless you specifically tell? We talked about what it is to believe in Jesus, and they need to specifically hear the Word of God. God promised that his Word would not return void. You know, we can go and be preachers. To preach really is just to proclaim the Word of God, and you don't have to go. Now, praise the Lord if we need more missionaries, we need more preachers. But at the end of the day, you don't have to be able to witness to someone. You can go and you can preach the gospel. You can hand out a tract. You can be involved in John and Romans on the weekends. You can be involved in witnessing in any way, and even if it's just to simply even give a little witness to someone, to share a verse. I've never heard it. I really want to hear it, but one of Dr. Goetsch's most powerful sermons apparently is all Bible. He does not say a word but read Bible verses. To read God's Word, it's powerful. Sharper than any two-edged sword, we can just read the Word of God, and you can be a preacher. It can take anyone. Luke chapter 10, verse 2, we saw it. The harvest is great. The harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. There's a need for more laborers. There's a need for more preachers. How shall they hear without a preacher? We praise God for the one that was saved this week at Anchor Baptist Church. Thank you, Anchor Baptist Church, for being a testimony, for being a church that someone that's unsaved could feel welcome at. You know, there's some churches that I'm sure the unsaved would maybe go and maybe, and I'm sure, yeah, church, they'll feel out of place, but they shouldn't feel unwelcome. They shouldn't feel like, man, these people in their suits and ties, and they don't care about me. No, they should care. I'll share a story from the last missions conference we were at. Pastor Eric Levier from Montreal was here preaching at a church and in Vancouver on East Hastings. And he does some chaplain ministry in Montreal. And he was in the prison. This prisoner came in and kind of sat down and said, "Man, I need help and I need to talk to someone." Well, long story short, it turns out he had walked into an independent Baptist church of downtown East Hastings. And he'd been there twice. And that church, I guess, made an impact on him in some way, so that years down the road in prison in Montreal, he decided to go talk to the preacher because he was low, because he was down on his luck. And he's like, "Well, I went to a church. Maybe there's a preacher, because the church made a difference." And I don't believe he got saved, but he was able to hear the gospel. You can be a preacher just by sharing the gospel. We won't turn there for sake of time, but in 1 Corinthians 1, we see the passage where Paul talks about the foolish things of the world. "God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and base things of the world, and things which are not, to bring to naught the things that are." At the end of the passage, in verse 31, it talks about the glory, that the glory may be of God and not of ourselves. It's not for our glory. Will you work? Don't work for your own glory. Don't work for your own fame. Don't work so that people can give you money. Don't work so that people can know your name. Don't work so that you can be famous and known around the world. Work so that God can get the glory. Preach the gospel so that one day you can get to heaven and see souls saved because of your testimony, because of your preaching. Witness to others. Share the gospel with others so that one day a testimony can be told. Not so they can say, "Look at what a great soul winner you are. Look at what a great testimony you are." But you can say, "Look at the grace of God, and all glory to God for souls getting saved." You know, we are praying this week even that someone in this church would be sent as a preacher. You know, we can say that. We're praying. Maybe your heart is touched. Maybe God's been working on your heart. You know, now is the time. The night is coming. Now is the time to say, "You know what? How shall they hear without a preacher?" You know, you can witness to your coworkers and you can witness to your neighbors, but maybe some of you God's calling to go. Maybe some of you God's calling to be a preacher somewhere around the world. They need to hear. Our time is short. There is such a need. Again, I think of Miss Lisa Kendrick. You know, she was working a job. She was working in the church. She could have said, "You know, I'm in the ministry. That's okay. I'm in Germany. I'm not in my home country. I'm a bit out of my comfort zone. I'm working a job." But no, there was so much more in the ministry she needed to do that she said, "You know what? I can't count on my job. I need to go and be full-time in this. I need to go and help, and I need to go and support." And maybe there's someone here who says, "You know what? There's a testimony I can have, and there's a witness I can have, but maybe you need to go full-time in it." You know, it is work. The ministry is work. The Bible says that he that desireth the work of a bishop desireth a good thing. It's work, but it's a great work. And it's, you know, you've never heard anyone in the ministry who said, "Man, what a worst decision of my life. I can't believe I wasted my life." Like, no, it's joy. It's the best thing in the world. And there's such a need for laborers. How shall they hear without a preacher? Last, as we look at verse 15, and how shall they preach except they be sent? Thank you, truly, thank you, Anchor Baptist Church, for being such a sending and supporting church. Even those sent from your own church, even Caleb, a good friend of mine, grew up with him, and what a blessing to see him sent out of this church. Blessing to see a church who's excited to get behind him, to be supportive of him. But how shall they preach except they be sent? You know, you've probably heard people in the world talk about, "Man, what are you doing giving money to the church? The church is always out for your money." And I heard someone talking about that recently, and they said, "Really? I mean, when's the last time the government wasn't out for your money? When's the last time your wife wasn't out for your money?" Someone else said it, not me. I see my wife in the... Ooh, I should stick to the Bible here. But, you know, the church isn't out for money. Sometimes it feels weird having to talk about money. You know, the love of money is the root of all evil. And sometimes I think as Christians, we kind of scare away from money. At the end of the day, we're just people. We have bills to pay. We have taxes to pay. You know, missionaries, they go and praise the Lord for missionaries, but they're just people. They have to heat the house. They have to put food on the table. And that takes money. you know, praise the Lord for Elijah, but God doesn't really send ravens anymore. And I don't know if I'd eat food that a raven brought me anyway. You know, there's a need for bills. And how shall they preach except they be sent? We'll turn to Philippians chapter 4 and see Paul's heart for the Philippian church. Love what he says here. In verse 13, now this verse can be taken out of context. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. A lot of people will take that to be whatever project they have going on and whatever endeavor they have. You know what? I can do all things. You know, that may be a good application. But in context, what Paul is saying in the previous verses, he said, you know what? I know how to have a lot and have nothing. And paraphrase of what he's saying. I know how to abound and I know how to be in need. I know how to have a lot and I know how to have a little. I can do all things. Whatever God puts me through, whatever situation I'm in, whatever circumstance I have, I can do all things. But in that context, look at what he continues to say. He says, notwithstanding, ye have done well, that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. You know, Paul, as great and as amazing of man as he was, he had financial needs as well. You know, he had to eat. He had to have somewhere to stay. And he traveled a lot, whether he stayed in hotels or stayed in people's houses. He had needs. And he said, yes, I can do all things. I can have a lot. I can have a little. But thank you, Philippian church, for doing your part to help support me. He didn't negate God's use of churches to be God's means of supply. Look at that. He communicated with me. For even in Thessalonica, verse 16, ye sent once and again unto my necessity. You know, he didn't tell them, look, God will provide my needs. You guys don't have to. You don't have to. I don't need your money. God will provide my needs. No, he said, you did good. Thank you. Verse 17, not because I desire a gift. I'm not trying to take your money from you, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. And we don't have time to get too deep into that. We're running out of time here, but the fruit that may abound to your account. To think that the souls that get saved in Africa and Uganda, I believe you support, is it three missionaries to Uganda? At least three? Souls that are saved in Uganda will be fruit to your account. One day you can get to heaven and you can see Ugandan saints in Christ and they can say that I got to heaven because you guys sent Caleb Turner to Uganda. Fruit to your account. Praise the Lord for that. If you know the song Faces, I believe it may be a Southern Gospel song, but a great song. And the message of the song is the person is singing, they're saying, you know what, I labored in the work of the Lord and I didn't always see the results I wanted. I didn't always see the soul saved I wanted. I didn't always have what happened my way. One day I'll get to heaven and I'll see the faces, personal, the faces of those individuals who got saved because of me. And the song is not in a proud way, but in a humble way. Getting to heaven, one day God will turn and say, look, you didn't see what you thought you'd see in your ministry, but look. That guy's in heaven because you greeted him in church. That person's in heaven because you gave him a tract. That person's in heaven because you gave money to the Canadian Gospel Project and Bearing Precious Seed, and they sent John and Romans to someone's home, and they got saved. It's to your account. Praise the Lord for that. You know, it kind of makes giving to missions so much simpler. It's not about money. It's not about a number. It's not about, oh, are these missionaries greedy? No, it's about, look, it's all fruit to your account. I love what Pastor Al Stone said when he was presenting the Canadian Gospel Project. And he pulls no punches. He goes and he's look, I need your money. And he'll say it, not in a prideful way. But, and I'm sure you're familiar. Do you support? Yes, I remember you support. And he says, look, I need your money, not for me, but I need your money so I can print John and Romans and I can mail John and Romans to your community. And he said it at the one church. He's like, you're giving money for you, not for me. It's fruit to your account. We'll look up one more verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Corinthians 16. Let's look at verse 3. Here's Paul again talking to the Corinthians. We know he traveled on his missionary journeys and he was all over the place. But he says in verse 3, "And when I come, whomsoever ye shall approve by your letters, then will I send to bring your liberality unto Jerusalem. And if it be meet that I go also, they shall go with me. Now I will come unto you when I shall pass through Macedonia, for I do pass through Macedonia." He told them, "Hey, I'm traveling, I'm coming your way, I'm going to be visiting. I'll present my ministry to you. And it may be that I will abide, yea, in winter with you, that ye may bring me on my journey, whithersoever I go." Notice what he said, "that ye may bring me on my journey." Even something as simple as, say, someone in the Corinthian church letting Paul stay in their basement suite, if you will, through the winter, was a way of them to bring Paul on his journey. It was a way for them to support Paul in his ministry. It was a way even for fruit to their account. Something as simple as a love offering. Something as simple as buying a meal for a missionary. Not because the missionaries are all, "You know what, I'm just going to go and everyone's going to gimme, gimme, gimme." That's not what it's about. It's about you can bring the missionaries on their journey. You can help them not only to get to where they're going, but you can help them to minister. You can help them to serve. It can be fruit to your account. The night is coming. Will you work? Will you be a testimony? Will you share with one person what it truly means to believe in Jesus? How shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? Will you be a testimony that they may hear of Jesus? Will you go as a missionary if God so calls you? Will you be that preacher? Will you send preachers? Will you give of yourself? Mention that story about the beginning about you're not a dying thief, you're a living thief. You're here, you're a Christian. God has a purpose for you. Will you give your all? Will you be committed? A hog and a hen sharing the same barnyard heard about a church's program to feed the hungry. The hog and the hen discussed how they could help. The hen said, "I've got it. We'll provide bacon and eggs for the church to feed the hungry." The hog thought about the suggestion and said, "Oh, there's one problem with your bacon and egg solution. For you, it only requires a contribution, but for me, it will mean total commitment." You know, that's the cost of true discipleship, surrendering your all. There's so many who haven't heard, even here in our country. Will you work? Will you give your all? Will you be fully committed no matter what? Will you give your life as a living sacrifice, as it says in Romans 12, holy, acceptable unto the Lord, which is your reasonable service? Will you give of yourself, even as was said on Sunday? Do you give of yourself? If you've given of yourself, if you've made a total commitment, everything else is easy because you've already said yes. You've already said, "God, there's so many who need to hear. How will you use me?" As we close tonight, would you just go to God moment of invitation and just say, "God, how would you use me? Would you have me to give? Would you have me to give more? Lord, would you have me to go? Would you have me to witness to the whosoever's around me?" God won't have the same thing for everyone. Not everyone can be a missionary. If everyone was a missionary, there'd be no one to send them. He doesn't have the same thing for everyone, but would you go to God and just say, "God, whatever your will is, Lord, I give a full commitment. The night is coming, Lord, I will work so that those who have not heard can hear."